What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. All right, so Joe Biden took the classified documents, lied about it, and then they found it, and then he cooperated, and so they did a big investigation, and under the senile cooperator theory, a reasonable juror on a jury could reasonably decide that he was unaware of the presence of the files in his garage. So the prosecutor's like, don't want to risk it, won't even bother. So no charges. Very similar approach to the Hillary Clinton, classified documents decision to not go after her too. Unlike Donald Trump, where they would go after. No, Donald Trump has done a lot of other things to help make the case easier against him. And I know people who love Trump don't want to hear that, but he did. He made it easier. And if you've got people in the government that are out to get you, when you make it easy for them, it makes it easier for them to get you. That's why this story in Politico, this really is, it is something else. Headline: the prospect of a second Trump presidency has the intelligence community on edge. Oh no. What might they do? Right? Holy cow, are you saying that the intelligence community might do something, I don't know, a little bit beyond the bounds of normalcy? No, say it ain't so. Former top officials from Donald Trump's administration are warning that he is likely to use, it's amazing how many people from Donald Trump's administration come out and talk against him. It really is, it is something, is it not? And you can say it's because he picked the wrong people, he got bad advice, he's a terrible hirer or something. I don't know, and at this point, it doesn't matter to me. It just seems like there's a ton of people that have worked for him that now talk trash about him, you know? So former top officials from Donald Trump's administration are warning that he is likely to use a second term to overhaul the nation's spy agencies in a way that could lead to an unprecedented level of politicization of intelligence. Is it really unprecedented? Really? I mean, I guess if that word has no meaning whatsoever, it would be unprecedented. But because, like, what I've seen so far, what I've seen in the last 8 years, I was talking to Christy about this last night, that if Trump wins, that means for 12 years, more than 12 years of my career, I will have been doing this job with a Trump either presidency or candidacy, you know? And if he loses and Biden wins and he does the 4 years or Kamala Harris does the 4 years, whatever, there's nothing to say that Trump couldn't come back and try again in another 4 years from now, right? He could. That would be 16 years. 16 years I would be doing this job with Donald Trump as the candidate or the president. Anyway, I thought that was a great point, by the way. That was Kelly Armstrong in the last hour who was pointing out that there have only been three people who have been or who have run, who have been president or running for president, over the last, 8 years now. And all three of them have been accused of mishandling classified information. And only two of them have escaped charges. And it just happens to be the two Democrats. And by the way, for everybody that's mad about Trump getting hit with this stuff and not Biden or Clinton, never forget because I haven't, it was Donald Trump who said, you know what, election's over, we'll let Hillary go now. That was his call. That's what he did. Everybody was chanting, lock her up, and then as soon as he won, he was like, oh, we'll just let her go. Just, you know, she's a good person, right? And for that good deed, what did he get? I mean, if you consider it a good deed. I don't know. I do not. I felt like it undermined the rule of law, but what do I know? Donald Trump, who already tried to revamp intelligence agencies during his first term, is likely to re-up those plans and push even harder to replace people perceived as hostile to his political agenda with inexperienced loyalists. Oh my gosh, well, we can't have that. We cannot have loyalists to the president in the intelligence agencies. We must have people that hate his guts and leak all the time to undermine him. That's what you have to have, no? What, does he think he's a Democrat still? Come on. By the way, this is all according to interviews that Politico did with more than a dozen people who worked in Trump's administration. 18. Apparently, 18 former officials who worked in Trump's administration. Like who? Well, here's one. Do you remember this name? Fiona Hill. Wait a minute. Wait, hang on a second. You're going to Fiona Hill? No, wait, who else? You got, I'm sure Vindman is in there, right? He's got to be in there. Dan Coats is in there. Who became an outspoken critic of Trump after he left the administration in 2019. Also, John Bolton, who's also now a critic of the former president. Right. Fiona Hill, who has regularly criticized his policies. Right. So these are the people, these are the former Trump officials that left or were fired that hate Donald Trump, that have criticized him, and now they're coming like, hey, just want to give you a completely objective, unbiased warning that Trump could destroy the intelligence community if you let him into the office again. Because he could politicize it. Unlike, you know, Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all the Democrats. And no, no, no. Peter Strzok telling Lisa Page, we won't let them. Don't worry, we won't let them. And when asked, what does that mean? We won't let them. We won't let Trump become the president. What does that mean? Oh, I just meant we the people in the election. That's what I totally meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. No, it wasn't your investigation, your crossfire hurricane that you were doing with Lisa Page. No. America's spy agencies are never completely divorced from politics, says Politico. But an overhaul of the type that Trump is expected to. This is what, if you were to take, this is what Michael Crichton talked about like 25 years ago. Michael Crichton, he of Jurassic Park authorship, right? Michael Crichton talked about how so much of this of reporting, of journalism, has become just predictive. And as such, it has virtually zero relevance. It has zero importance and relevance because it's just a prediction. And if you are wrong, you don't lose your job. So all you do is predict. And then what is the incentive? Is to predict the most horrible thing. To juice your readership, right? To get more eyeballs, to watch your news programs or read your paper. So that the incentive is built in to make wilder and wilder predictions. That's why you'll, like, if you listen to my show, I do not do a lot of predictions. Because if I'm wrong, like, what's the upside? The upside is I get to say I was right. What did I tell you? You need to listen to me because I'll predict everything right in the future. Well, that's not possible. Nobody can predict everything right in the future. So what happens if I'm wrong? Well, now I lose credibility. So what's the, like, what's the overall benefit there for me? And why would anybody rely on me to be able to tell the future? Look, if I could tell the future, I'm not coming to work tomorrow because I've won the lottery tonight. By the way, you don't have to play because I've won the lottery tonight. Washington Examiner. Headline. Cassidy Hutchinson's sensational story about Trump undercut by House GOP January 6th report. You remember Cassidy Hutchinson? You remember her? She was Mark Meadows' assistant to, well, Mark Meadows. Hutchinson. Cassidy Hutchinson. House Republicans released their initial report yesterday on their investigation into the Democratic-led Senate Select Committee on the January 6th Capitol riot. You got to say it like that. Like Capitol, you know? Like Teddy Roosevelt. Bully, bully, Capitol. Anyway, that's the latest step in the House GOP's look into the riots at the U.S. Capitol following the 2020 election. Among the findings in the House Administration Committee's Oversight Subcommittee report were claims that Cassidy Hutchinson's account of former President Donald Trump's actions on January 6th was not corroborated by other White House employees. Well, what did Cassidy say? Well, she was the assistant to former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows during the Trump administration. She was one of the key witnesses in the Democrats' investigation into January 6th. Republicans have long sought to discredit Hutchinson and the overall findings of the Select Committee, challenging the committee's work since the GOP took the House majority in 2022. And by the way, I will always blame Nancy Pelosi for this, because she could have had an actual bipartisan Select Committee, you know, a format where you've got an adversarial process that unfolds. So you can test claims, you can argue and impeach and impugn, right? Well, not impugn. You shouldn't do that. But like you can argue against the various testimonies and eyewitness accounts and that sort of thing. In other words, a trial. And this is the problem that the J6 committee, that it was, I think, from its outset, its original sin was that it put two Never Trumpers on there, two Republicans, and there was never any pushback. There was never an adversarial process that was allowed to unfold. And as such, it's all poison fruit from that tree. So, yeah, I don't blame Republicans for taking a look at the way this was done. And by the way, the more they look at it, the more we realize that the investigation wasn't completely on the up and up. And this Cassidy Hutchinson example is just another example. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Cassidy Hutchinson testified under oath, publicly and privately before the J6 committee, that she had heard Donald Trump lunged for the wheel of the presidential SUV, a.k.a. the Beast, and got into a physical altercation with his lead Secret Service agent after Donald Trump was told that he could not go to the rally on J6 to join his supporters. Remember this story? That she had heard from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. He'd been messing around with the Secret Service agent driving the Beast. That's what she testified. Almost. I mean, don't quote me verbatim here, because I'm not quoting her verbatim. But she testified that people told her, oh my gosh, Donald Trump was so mad. He was so mad. I mean, he tried to wrestle away the steering wheel, tried to lunge over the seat at the Secret Service agent driving the car so he could drive over, so he could steer the Beast over to the ellipse. Anyway, In the report, the Oversight Committee subcommittee, led by Chairman Barry Loudermilk, said the White House provided Loudermilk with four heavily redacted transcribed interviews from the White House employees. Right? So the White House gave the new committee four transcribed interviews from other White House employees, but they were all very heavily redacted. So then they got them unredacted so they could read them. The committee found that, oh, the descriptions of events from these other employees that Hutchinson was apparently quoting did not match what she said. Quote, none of the White House employees corroborated Hutchinson's sensational story about President Trump lunging for the steering wheel of the beast. However, some witnesses did describe the president's mood after the speech as irate. So he was very irate. Okay, so the select committee, despite knowing that Hutchinson's testimony, the J6 committee, despite knowing that Cassidy's testimony changed substantially over time to become more and more dramatic, they rushed into yet another Hollywood hearing, even though they were not able to verify the story. The White House had originally sent over the interviews, heavily redacted, with which Loudermilk and allies believe was intentional. Quote, the content of these witness transcripts makes clear why the J6 committee chose not to release these transcripts despite releasing almost every other witness transcript. These witnesses directly undermine the claims that were made by Cassidy Hutchinson and the J6 committee. And it underscores that that committee only showed the public what they wanted the public to see. Right? So this was not a legitimate investigation. And we all knew this, obviously. We knew it from the moment when they kicked all of the Republicans off the committee, except for Cheney and Kinzinger. Right? The fix was in. Loudermilk said in a statement following the report's release that the J6 committee, quote, promoted hearsay and then cherry-picked information to promote its political goal to legislatively prosecute Trump. Or, as Democrats and the folks over at the Bulwark would call it in the Lincoln Project, these are the norms being protected, norms that allow Cassidy Hutchinson to make up a story so she can sell a book, and they would promote that story. They would then redact any other witness testimony that would fly in the face of that testimony, and then they would put it out there in this Hollywood-produced hearing setting, get all of the media coverage in order to get Trump, even though it wasn't true. These are the norms that must be respected. What else? Oh, I got some polling. This came from the North Carolina-based conservative think tank, John Locke Foundation. Contract with a polling firm called Signal, which is actually they're very good. And they took a look at likely general election voters. So this is North Carolina focused. The plus or minus margin of error on this is 3.99%. So 4%. So I look at all of these numbers. I'm going to give you the numbers, but I look at these all. If they're within 4 points of each other, then it's a tie. To me, it's a tie. Because it's all within a margin of error. Okay. Generally speaking, do you think the U.S. is headed in the right direction or on the wrong track? If you just said wrong track, you are with 66% of North Carolinians. Only 26% say right direction. So that's a big enough spread where, yeah, most people don't think we're going in the right direction. Which of the following issues was most important to you when you went and cast your votes in the primary? Okay, so this is backwards looking. Top issue, immigration. And it's beyond the margin of error. It's at 25%. Picked immigration as the top issue. Now, the other issues, some of them I would lump together, and that would put it over immigration. For example, number two is the economy. Number four is inflation. Number five is taxes and spending. And if I add all of those together, I'm over 25%. And I kind of think all of those three things are together. But they were asked separately, and so people picked their top choice. Number three was abortion, by the way. and that comes in at 12.7%. The economy was number two at 17.8%, so almost 18%. How satisfied are you with your choices for the general election? Total satisfied was 59.7%, 60%. 30% dissatisfied, another 10% were unsure. North Carolina State Legislature, generic ballot. Do you like the Republicans or Democrats? This is a six-point spread. It's 49% Republican, 43% Democrat, with another like 9% unsure. Again, that's the state legislature. So a six-point spread there, but margin of error and also the unsures, that could break either way. Congressional race, similar margin, 48 to 42% Republican over Democrat. What else here? With another 9% unsure. Biden's job approval numbers. Do you approve? Disapprove? His approval number is 38%. Disapproval, 59%. And here's the problem for him. Only 3.6% are unsure. So, like, these numbers are probably not going to move a lot unless, of course, something dramatic happens that rallies people around him. You don't turn this ship with only 3.6% unsure. That tells me that, like, people's opinions have solidified, right? How about Roy Cooper? Do you approve of his job that he's doing? And his approval number is 49%, his disapproval number, 43%. So a six-point spread on Cooper's approval. Most people still approve of the job he's done, but 8% are unsure. But here's the thing, it doesn't really matter because he's not running for re-election. Now, he could run for U.S. Senate. He could be trying to angle for a vice presidential slot somewhere. But that's about it, I think. I don't know where else he would, how else he would run. Maybe president. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Alrighty, so the John Locke Foundation has its latest polling out on North Carolina likely voters. Likely voters, again, that's the demographic you're looking for, because these are people that actually take active measures to go vote. They have a history of doing so, and they intend to do so again. So what is the presidential ballot looking like? Right, I did the Cooper approval numbers, right? I already paid that off. I think I did, yeah, 49 to 43%. Right, presidential ballot. If the election were held today, who do you vote for? Donald Trump, 45%. Joe Biden, 40%. So that's a five-point spread. And again, remember, the margin of error is 4 percentage points. So even with that, Trump is still ahead of Biden. Here's the thing. Someone else is listed at 9%, and undecided is at 5.5. And that, my friends, that's enough to swing either way, right? 14, 15 percentage points. How about Mark Robinson versus Josh Stein versus Wayne Turner versus Mike Ross for the gubernatorial race? Mark Robinson at 44%. So he is trailing Donald Trump, but only by 1 point. Stein is at 39. He's trailing Joe Biden by less than a point. Undecided is about 15 percentage points on this. And then you've got the Green Party candidate, Wayne Turner. He's at 0.6%. We'll see if he catches on, if he's picks up the momentum. Mike Ross, the Libertarian, is at 1.8%. Moving down the ballot, we come to North Carolina Attorney General Dan Bishop at 41%. So he's a little bit below Robinson, a little bit below Trump as well. Democrat Jeff Jackson is at 39%. So a 2-point spread, but undecided is clocking in at about 21, which means this is anybody's race still. Again, always keep in mind with these polls, just a snapshot. This is just a snapshot of where people are right now after the primary, now moving into the general election, right? Supreme Court justice ballot. This is a 41-39 split in favor of the Republican Jefferson Griffin over Allison Riggs. But there's a very large undecided number there, too, at about 19%. For the labor commissioner ballot, this is Luke Farley versus Braxton Winston, Charlotte City Councilman, former. The Republican Farley is winning or is leading in the polls 42-35%, but again, another large undecided block of about 23%. State Treasurer Brad Briner, Republican, 43%. Wesley Harris, Democrat, 37%. So a 6-point spread there for the Republican for State Treasurer, but again, 20% undecided. Next up, Insurance Commissioner. By the way, all of these are the Council of State races. Mike Causey, the incumbent Republican at 43%, followed by the Democrat challenger Natasha Marcus from Charlotte. She's clocking in at 37%. So again, another 6-point spread, but again, another large group of undecideds at 20%. Superintendent, this is very close. Michelle Morrow, the Republican who just beat Catherine Truitt, the Republican incumbent, she's at 41. Mo Green at 39. 20% undecided. And finally, last number, registration. Republicans, 32%. Democrats, 34%. Unaffiliateds, 31%. So we'll see how it shakes out. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.